Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate, the Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. Thanking the Lord Jesus Christ for all of you that are listening this day. May the Lord bless you, your family, your loved ones, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to shout out to those of you listening to the broadcast here in the United States. Welcome. Welcome to those of you in Canada and Spain, Ireland and the Netherlands, United Kingdom. Welcome. And to every country that I have not named that is listening to this broadcast, I want to welcome you to Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. Now, if you have any prayer requests, I'll pray with you. If you have any comments, I ask you that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes out of respect of the length of the broadcast. If you have any questions about the lesson, I'll do my best in the Lord Jesus Christ to answer it. If you have any question about how to obtain materials or the copies of the messages, I will get that information to you. Once again, I do understand that perhaps some of you may have questions or comments or prayer requests that you say you don't want to do over the air. You don't want to speak it out. I understand that. Contact me, NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And I will do my best to get back and answer your requests, your questions, in Jesus' name, amen. So, having said that, I'd like to go into prayer. And for those of you who don't mind praying with me, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we humble ourselves on this day because, Lord, you have blessed us once again to come together and assemble in your name. And, dear Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you will bless us with revelation knowledge of what you're speaking unto us today. Father, I ask that you will help me to relay the message you have me to relay as you have sent it through your angel messenger. And I pray that you will help me preach and teach this message that will be pleasing in your sight. Every soul, every heart that is tuned into this broadcast, Lord God, I ask that you would bless them to hear this message in Jesus' name. And I give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Today, we are going to start on a new series coming from the word of the Lord. And on this day, as we go into this new series today, as I give to you guys the modern day word of the Lord today from the Lord Jesus Christ, because as I said to you before, there are some who think that Christ, you know, is not speaking today. And the Lord has been sending his angel messenger to reassure you that, yeah, I'm alive and well and I'm speaking today. The title of this lesson, starting off today, and I want to say, this may be a lesson to start off a series. I want to be led by the Spirit on how it would go. I think that it may have different parts, different sections. I just, you know, whatever the Spirit reveals to me, which way to go. But I know it's not going to be just this, what I'm going to do now. And it's very important that this is also brought out as is related in the Word of God, because this is something that especially believers need to know, and you know, unbelievers as well. And you say, why is that? Because what we're going to go over, not just tonight or throughout the parts and series that we enter, is very important that man know this. In fact, God wants man to know this, okay? That's save or unsave. He wants man to know this. Amen. Because, you know, some things have come up and have happened in life, and some people think that, oh, that's it. You know, That's life. Got to give up, give in to it. And you're going to come to find out from the word of God that is not necessarily true, okay? So I wanted to put that in there. Now, the title of tonight's message is The Midnight Cry Relating to the Redemption. The Midnight Cry Relating to the Redemption. The modern-day word of Jesus Christ sent by him through his angelic messenger, the Elijah, conveys this. Number one, that Christ designed a plan of redemption that will come through him. Number two, he set it up where he will be the redeemer. Number three, through this, he opened a chance for man to be what he came to do. Glory to God. Thank God for this. So we're going to look at this and prepare for the word to bring us joy. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to do. Okay. We're going to, glory to God. I pray that you give, I pray for your undivided attention. Amen. Concerning this, because this is very important. And I want to start off giving a definition. In another part of the series, I gave a definition. And I'm going to give a definition starting off of this message tonight. Okay? Amen. I want to... define the word first, redemption. I want to define the word redemption. According to Webster, the word redemption means the act, process, or an instance of redeeming. The act, process, or an instance of redeeming. And so when I tell you that through this word that the Lord has sent showed us that the Lord has had designed a plan that is to come through Christ, a plan of an act, a process, or an instance of redeeming for man. Not for him, but for man. It is very important. Now, Webster says, once again, that the word redemption means the act, process, or an instance of redeeming. Now, for us to go deeper, we need to define and understand what redeem means. Now, I'm going to give you a series of definitions, and I'm going to give this because if the Lord say the same in this overall message and teaching and preaching, we're going to go into these different areas that's connected to this redemption through what these definitions I'm going to give you reveals, that we may understand fully what Christ did for us even the more. Now, when we break down the word redeem, first of all, means to buy back or repurchase. To buy back, repurchase. It also means to free from what distresses or harms. Okay? Hallelujah. It means to free from captive by payment of ransom. It also means to extricate from or help to overcome something detrimental. Amen. To release from blame or debt, to clear, to free from the consequences of sin. Now, I've given you those definitions of the word redeem because as we go on, and we enter to different parts, you will see where these definitions fit in the overall plan of redemption. And the Lord set forth this plan. Amen. And the first thing I'm looking at tonight, once again, the midnight cry relating to the redemption, relating to the redemption. And so we're going to go into the word of the Lord, the modern day word of the Lord today. We're going to go into one of the messages called the 34th message. Now, amen. This 34th message that Jesus sent out May the 14th, 1938. And as I told you, when I read off these messages, you will hear me give you the dates. And the reason why is because I want you to ask the Lord. In fact, Jesus wants me to point it out to you. He wants you to come to him about this word that I'm giving. Amen. Now, I want to read a couple of verses out of this 34th message. Amen. And this is what it says, is that, behold, I have come to you and not to others, for this is my appointment, to come with a message that the kingdom of God shall be. For the message I bring shall bring life, peace, and happiness to those that accept it, and woe, woe, woe to those that count my commandments as naught, for terrible shall be the day to the unjust when I come, say the Lord, and joy, gladness, and redemption to the just. Okay? Amen. He goes on to say, even now I say to my servants, meet in your solemn assembly, cry mightily unto me, and I will hear you, and manifest my will unto you, yea, concerning Zion. Let my law be taught in its completeness, that the joy of man, that the joy of man might be full under the plan of redemption. Yea, men are that they might have joy, and according to their faith, I manifest my will unto mankind. Because of unbelief, my work has suffered, leaving many to wander in darkness. Now, you notice that in what I read to you, the two verses there, we are shown that there is a plan, or there has been already designed a plan of redemption. And this plan was designed by Jesus Christ. It was not designed by Elijah Muhammad. It was not designed by Hare Krishna. It was not designed by Buddha. It was not designed by Charles Taze Russell or Mary Baker Eddy or any of these so-called gods, whether it's Egyptian gods, Greek gods. I don't care. Jesus Christ designed this plan of redemption for man. Okay. Even though man did not love him, he designed this plan. This plan where he would do an act, process, and an instance of redeeming. Okay. Now understand this. This is not something that man asked him to do, okay? Jesus did it because of his love, okay, for man. He loved whom he created, mankind. And he saw the state of man, and he saw that man needed help and man could not save himself. So therefore, he set forth a plan, amen, that would be a blessing and a benefit for man. And it's called the plan of redemption. And he said also in what I read to you in this verse, he said, Let my law be taught in its completeness. In other words, Jesus don't want no partial teaching stuff. And that's going on among the Christian community today. We're teaching part of the plan, part of the law. We're not teaching the fullness of the law of God. And the law we're talking about today, we ain't talking about the law of Moses. We're talking about the gospel. A lot of partial giving. You know, you have some in Christianity, all they want to do is preach about heaven, but not warn them of people about hell. And we have preached about heaven so much that we have caused some to think that that is the only place there is, that there is no place called hell, that there is no place called a lake of fire and brimstone. And some of us as Christians, we want to jump on other Christians who are telling people and warning them about hell. And the first thing we're saying is, hey, don't tell them that you're scaring them. You're scaring them. Well, I wonder, did Jesus think about that when he talked about hell? Because he talked about hell. Amen. So he says here, let my law be taught in its completeness, that the joy of man might be what? Full. Under the plan of redemption. So it's God's will. Let's get personal here for a minute. It's God's will for your joy to be full. Say that to yourself. It is the Lord's will that my joy be full. Amen. It is. It's the Lord's will that your joy be full. Now, I looked up the word full in the dictionary. And I asked Webster, I said, Webster, what does the word fool mean? Webster let me know, say, hey, I got a lot of definitions for it. You're just going to have to pray and ask the Holy Ghost to point out which one it is. And the one that stood out the most is this definition here. The definition of the word joy means being at the highest or greatest degree. It also means maximum. The Lord wants the joy of man to be at the highest degree. He don't want you just have a little joy. He wants you to have that joy that is full to the overflow. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what he wants. Glory be to God. So it shouldn't be a question when people, you know, is sad and depressed and sick. For them to say, well, Lord, do you want me like this? Well, the answer is no. Okay. I mean, if you run around sick all the time, how can you have joy? If you run around broke and begging and you wear clothes with holes in it and you're living in a place where you're freezing all the time, stuff like that, how can you have joy? Okay. So now that's not to say you won't go through. But what I'm saying is that doesn't have to be your final state. You understand what I'm saying? Now, he said, let my law be taught in its completeness, that the joy of man might be full under the what? Under the plan of redemption. Hallelujah. Now, I want to go to the Bible, and let's go to the book of Romans. Chapter 3, the book of Romans, chapter 3, okay? The book of Romans, chapter 3. Thank God for Jesus. The book of Romans, hallelujah, chapter 3. I am grateful to the Lord for this opportunity to go into the Word of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. The Word of God says, let's start at 23 and go to 24. The Word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Being justified freely by his grace. You weren't justified by your works. You weren't justified by your race. See, this is what people miss it at. You know, this all this superior race stuff and this other race is inferior, all that prejudice, you know, and, you know, like as if that you was just picked by God to be above over everyone. You was not justified by your race or your gender. You was not justified by your status. What I mean is by you being rich or poor or middle class. Because see, here on earth, that's what is wrong with here on earth. You got people that's being justified because of their class, whether they're high class. I mean, you know what I'm saying. For example, you got some people that's rich have committed murders, okay? And because they was rich, court system have granted them, unless it's something that just they just can't, you know, cover up or whatever, the court system have grant many of them to get off or get away with what they call a slap on the wrist. Or, and I've seen some people who are known as Hollywood stars. For example, if you have a regular common man end up on drugs, they send them to a facility, and many of them facilities is not a, quote, real nice up-to-date facility, okay? Some of them is like, okay. But if you notice what they do with these Hollywood stars, they get on drugs and on drugs so bad and get in some kind of addiction. When they send them to places, they send them to places look like, you know, the penthouse, okay? And see, even sad to say, among the Christian community, there is a lot of justifying because of race, because of gender, once again, because of status. But see, the Lord said we were justified by his grace. When you was guilty, by his grace, you were made innocent. Hallelujah. It wasn't about works you could do. It wasn't about your color. It wasn't about your gender, whether you was a male or female. It wasn't about your status of being having abundance of material things versus not having. It didn't have nothing to do with that. But it was through the grace of God. And as we see here in this verse, this redemption is through Christ. He said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This plan of redemption, amen, is in and through Christ. It is not through anyone else. Now, you guys probably been hearing me for the last few broadcasts, or a couple broadcasts keep talking to you about how we're going to have to stand on what we believe concerning Christ. And I sense that even the more people, because many people I see are taking for granted being in a place with Christ. And they also think that I have to put on a show when I'm within the church building walls. Okay? But when I get outside here, I can just be anybody I want to be, per se. I can be thuggish. I can be a whoremonger, hang around with other whoremongers, hang around with other thuggish people, hang around with other thieves. But then when I get in the church building walls, I can act what they call churchy. Say how much I love Jesus and how much Jesus is the best and no one's greater than him. I can get to say all of that and not face a challenge or confrontation about what I believe concerning Christ. Well, this is one of the reasons why also the Lord has blessed me to be in this place to give the word, because in this warning to you, whoever you may be, man or woman, black or white, Chinese, it don't matter, Ireland, you know, you claim to be a God, Spaniard, whatever, you're going to be challenged concerning your faith and what you believe concerning Christ. What I'm telling you is this. It's going to come to the point, the center thing that people is going to start approaching you about is your faith in Christ. Now, some of you are listening from other countries. You may be already experiencing that. And I commend you for still standing. But pray for us here in America, okay? Because we haven't reached that point yet, even though it's coming. And, I mean, it's fast approaching, okay? Pray for us in America. Because what many of the other countries are experiencing now in the high-level persecution, it hasn't hit here yet. Yeah, of course, there's some persecution here and there, but it's not what you call ramp up activity, real strong. It got some nicks and knocks here and there, okay? But it's getting ready to increase. And I see so many people play, as they say, play with Jesus, okay? They are quick to crack obscene or disrespectful jokes. You know, and I'm here to tell you now, you can best believe it's going to happen, that you're going to be confronted and challenged concerning your faith in Christ. With all we bring it to you on this broadcast, and then I'm taking you to the Word of God about, and you up there hollering out, I believe, I believe, I believe, I'm here to tell you now, you're going to have to make a stand. If you ain't rooted in this word concerning Christ, it's not going to take much to knock you down. Amen. It's not going to take much. Hallelujah. It's not going to take much. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's not going to take much at all, people. And I've been looking, and, you know, today and all the other days, and the Lord, like I said, has been by his Holy Spirit dealing with me about the greater challenge that is going to be coming to our faith concerning our faith in him. Not your faith in your car or your grandmama or your hubby and your wife. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your faith in Christ, okay? Because when the wife confronts you, husband, and asks you, do you really believe that Christ redeemed us? Do you really believe that stuff they said about Christ? Or wife, when their husband confronts you and says, do you believe that stuff they be telling about Jesus? Did you actually really believe it? I mean, this is probably after you and him been in the church service, and he clapping with you and crying with you, and, hey, the Lord is the man. And when y'all get back to the house, he like, baby, do you really believe that? And you looking like, well, yeah. And when he has some more words to come behind it, and they ain't words to cheer you up, the question is, are you going to be so devastated that you're going to turn loose of Christ just to please him? And I say this also to you, husband. Are you going to be so devastated when that wife says, do you really believe that about Christ? That he redeemed us, that he went through a plan of redemption. Do you believe that? And you go, yeah. And she start coming with some more stuff that doesn't bring you cheer. What you going to do? Or what about your friends or your associates or other family members that perhaps you may be, quote, close to, who will confront you and ask you, do you really believe that, man? I mean, hey, you believe in all that about just Jesus? You know, I know you clapping and hollering, and I know you got to do your stuff in the church service, but really, do you believe that? And see, if you get the sense like, oh, man, if I say yeah, they might act funny to me. Because here's the thing. This is why Jesus told us we have to be number one. He has to be number one. And this is the reason why. Because if he's not number one, whoever you make your number one, they will be able to cause you to turn your back on Christ. I'm going to say it again. This is one of the reasons why Jesus tells us in our lives he got to be number one. Because whoever you make your number one will have the power to cause you to turn away from Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read you a verse from the book, The Record of Nephi, still on this subject here. And one of the books in the Nephi record is called The Book of Jacob, okay? And this is serving the Lord. And this is not Jacob or Israel from the Old Testament. This is another Jacob, but he was a servant of the Lord. Amen. And I want you to hear the words that he said, what he was saying to his people, who supposed to have been the people of God at that time, of the Nephites. I want you to hear what he had to say to them. He said, "Behold, will ye reject these words? Will ye reject the words of the prophets? And will ye reject all the words which have been spoken concerning Christ, after that so many have spoken concerning him, and deny the good word of Christ and the power of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost, and quench the Holy Spirit, and make a mock of the great plan of redemption?" Do you hear that? "Which have been laid for you." The great plan of redemption. See, I connected with Christ. See, the great plan of redemption. Jacob said, "Will you make a mockery of that?" See, Jacob testified that there's a great plan of redemption. Okay? And that's why he said, "Will you reject all the words which have been spoken concerning Christ?" Because Christ connected to that great plan of redemption. Okay? He said, "Will you make a mock of it?" See, you're going to encounter people when you talk about this plan of redemption to others and what Christ did in redeeming, you're going to face some people who's going to make a mockery of it. Amen. They're not only just going to tell you they don't believe nothing of it, what you said. They are going to hard down, make a mockery of it. Okay? Not only in their words, but in their actions of things they do. Like, for example, Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry, especially when he first started out with movies and doing the stage thing and all that, Tyler Perry was making a mockery of the Holy Ghost, or the power of the Holy Ghost where you spoke in tongues. Yeah, he was making a mockery of it. That stuff that he was doing on stage and mocking how the words were, I mean, come on, to get a laugh. And see, here's the thing, and some of you may get upset when I say this, but I love you with the love of God. Satan was able to use that, what he was doing, to desensitize people to the workings of the Holy Ghost. So you can imagine when some of them went back to church service and people started talking about speaking in tongues, you can imagine one of the first things that came on their mind was Tyler Perry making fun about it. And then especially if someone in the congregation was truly speaking in tongues, you can imagine what they was thinking then. Amen. And listen, this plan of redemption that Christ have designed, that is to come by him, you got to show faith in it. There are going to be some believers in these last days who will no longer have faith in the plan of redemption, and they're going to make a mockery of it. Jacob asked the question. He said, "Would you deny the good word of Christ and the power of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost and quench the Holy Spirit?" Now, all this is in the form of a question now. And see, when we let things in our lives take the head, or we let circumstances dictate to us and tell us that Christ is not faithful, he's not reliable, he won't do, then we're going to find ourselves denying the good word of Christ. We're going to find ourselves denying the power of God. We're going to find ourselves denying the gift of the Holy Ghost and quenching the Holy Spirit.
you're going to find more people in the congregation quenching the Holy Ghost, because they're going to be in so much unbelief that the things that they say and they do is going to quench the Spirit of God. But the thing is, don't let it be so with you. Some people are welled up in so much bitterness that simply you bringing up the name of the Lord causes them to speak in such a harsh and disrespectful way towards God that it's mind-boggling and will have you literally shaking your head like, is this for real? Am I really hearing he or she say what I'm thinking she's saying? Am I really hearing them saying that the power of God can't heal? It can't deliver? Is these the same ones that, you know, I listened to for over these past few years who did nothing but put Jesus up, and now they, I'm telling you people, listen, this is important, okay? The plan of redemption in these last days, only the faithful is going to hold to it. I say it again, only the faithful is going to hold to it. You know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in the Bible, remember where there was the mentioning of the falling away? Now, understand this, that falling away was spoken of by Paul, but it was a falling away to go through the generations until it come to the last final stage before Christ return, which is what we're in now. And so the falling away still applies to the day. Well, you're going to, like I said, and remember, the falling away is not talking about, quote, the sinner, okay? It's talking about former believers who's going to turn away from Christ. They're going to forsake the truth. They're going to roam away from the truth, okay? Too many other things is going to be, quote, more important to them than Christ. Now, I tell you this so you can prepare yourself, because sometimes some people go through such a shock that they turn around and give up on Christ themselves. They in a shock when they find out Pastor Joe really wasn't faithful to his wife, and they find out he got about 5 or 6 children outside, you know, that he had out of wedlock while he was married. They so devastated. Now they don't even want to hear nothing about Jesus, and Jesus wasn't the one going out there getting the ladies pregnant, okay? It was Pastor Joe. But yet still, you want to take it out on Jesus. Well, I'm telling you, you're going to find out with this plan of redemption, there are going to be some Christians that are going to start speaking bad about it. Okay? They're going to start making a mockery of the plan of redemption. You know, I share with you guys, I think that was on God's Word to Man broadcast, how me and my wife one time, we went to this church gathering, and we went in care. I'll be honest with you, we was visiting a friend there who was going through ordination. And this particular pastor got up there, and he started preaching, and he preached about what the scripture said, by Jesus' stripes you heal. He said, but the Bible said, by Jesus' stripes you heal, but I say you're not healed. And he gave some reason why, I don't know, was it a family member, or somebody had cancer, and he prayed for them, they died anyhow. And me and my wife just sit there and turn our head and looked at each other like, say what? Like, what is this? What's going on here? Listen, you have to have faith in the plan of redemption. And it, like I said, it involves healing, which we at Lord Say Saint will get into. But let's say, for example, with healing, if you ask the Lord for healing, and you ain't got it yet, I would check me before I go around saying the Lord failed. See, this is what people do when it ain't manifest. They say the Lord failed. And so they start acting that way to the Lord instead of saying, Lord, help me and show me what is I'm doing wrong, you know. But the first thing they do is say, well, you know, they start acting so funny. Yeah, I prayed to the Lord. How many of y'all have heard this? I prayed to the Lord. I prayed to the Lord for someone. That person to live, to be healed, and they died anyhow. And I ain't trying to be funny when I say that. And that same person that tell you that, you could tell they got a bitterness toward God. And so really you start thinking, okay, you pray for this person to be healed, and they died anyhow. So in your mind, the Lord failed. And you don't think it could have been anything else. So the question is, did you really believe in the Lord from the get-go? Because I've had so many people through the years tell me that. Yeah, I talked to them about the Lord. They said, well, you know, Rev, I don't, you know, get too much in there, but I just want to say, you know, I had such and such situation happen. Little one got sick, and I was close to him, and I prayed and I prayed. And I asked the Lord to heal them, and they died anyhow. Well, first of all, the first thing I look at is this, and this is something I found out. Sometimes when people tell you I prayed and I prayed, actually they didn't. They're expressing themselves in such a way to make you think that they prayed and prayed. Now, I'm not saying everyone like that, but I found out some people are. That's just like when you know, some people, like, they may have a job, they're working it now, and find out that's an opportunity for another job. And here you is talking to them about, hey, you know, you want to make sure. And they say, well, I'm just going to go home and pray about it. Sometimes you can sense in your spirit they ain't going to do such a thing. Because sometimes the expression, I'm going to go and pray about it, is just an expression. Okay? Because many times they already had their mind made up. Okay? So they say, I'm going to go pray about it. No, you just make an expression. You speak as a word. You're not going to go pray about it. Okay? So, amen. I'm going to be doing a part two to this tomorrow. And, but this modern day word of the Lord Jesus Christ does relate to the plan of redemption. And once again, if I read to you that this angel came and said, you know what, the plan of redemption really didn't exist, or the plan of redemption couldn't do anything, then you would have every right to politely take your finger and hit that button and cut me off. But see, the word of the Lord that Jesus is sending through his angel messenger is a modern day word from the Lord Jesus Christ that is to kick off this process that will cause the bride to come forth. See, as I told you guys before, many of us in the Christian community are preaching about the second coming of Christ, which is true. And then that he's coming to get his bride, that is true. He's coming to get her, coming to be with his bride, that's true. But we're not preaching the process is going to take for that bride to come forth. And so you have some of us in the Christian community saying, like, any day now we can be gone, as if the Christian community is ready. The Christian community is not ready. We ain't ready to go anywhere, okay? We still in bad shape, okay? And here we are telling folks any day we can be gone. No, we're not, okay? You know, simply that's not true. I wish it was, because definitely I would be one of the ones to tell you. If the word really points us any day we can be gone, every day I'm driving my car to work, I'm hollering, Lord, I'm ready. Lord, come and get me now. Come and get me now. Oh, Lord, I don't care if this is a new vehicle. Just let it roll, hit the tree. Don't make me no different. I just want to be with you. I'd be one of the first ones hollering that every day and be upset. Being many days and he ain't came, okay? So I know it's not true, okay? But the plan of redemption, and remember, is to come to Christ, through Christ. See, right now, the world, with its leaders, is teaching people to accept all religions. And then now this thing has, like, started creeping into the Christian community. And some in the Christian community, to justify themselves in accepting these doctrines of devils and doctrines of men and the demonic doctrines of these other religions, they cover themselves by saying, you know, the Lord said we ought to love everybody. And now they have given many, have shown or shown to others that when God said that, he mean accept these teachings, accept these other religions. Well, anyone that's believed that have missed it by a whole mile, because that is not what the Lord is saying. It missed by a whole mile, people, because Christ is not saying that, okay? And see, the whole thing on this gender is to get you to deny Christ. This is why I know Satan's hand is in there. Satan's hand is in there. So all what you're studying, whether it's in Sunday school, Bible study, what you're hearing in preacher service, whatever, about Jesus, you better make it a thing where you come and root in it. Because if you're making it just a, as they say, a religious practice, that you go to service on Sunday, so you can come to work Monday and tell everybody you went to church, you're not going to survive the confrontation that you're going to be confronted with. I'm telling you, nobody's going to be able to dodge it. Not me, not you, or anyone. You're going to be faced with this confrontation. Your faith is going to be challenged concerning Christ. And the thing is going to be this. When they say, hey, do you believe such and such a thing? You know, when they're talking about the word of God, and you go, well, yeah, I do. And then they want to take something from you. Well, we're going after your house or your car, you know. Amen. Because the early Christians really proved their faith. Listen, I've shared with you guys how the Lord had brought me through things, and I thank God for it. But even I have to tell you, I have not faced the highest level of persecution. I haven't faced that. And my prayer for me personally is, Lord, help me that whenever I face it, that I won't give in. You understand what I'm saying? This is why it's so important for you as a believer to understand this. This is not a game. And this, when you go into the word of God, understand this. This thing is real. Okay? It's straight up real. So either you're going to be rooted or you're not. If you don't be rooted, that wind that the enemy going to send is going to just knock you down. Amen. It is such a blessing to be able to come before you at this hour today. I thank the Lord for all of you guys praying for me and for all that is on Blog Talk Radio with me. Okay? Thank God for you praying for us in the Church of Christ Elijah Message. Thank God for all you that is tuned in. So, let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who truly is God. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you're going to do. And thank you, Lord, for blessing on this broadcast. Dear Lord, I ask today that, Father, that everyone that sought the truth, that you reveal it to them. In the name of Jesus, touch them and restore to the utmost, in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we give you glory and give you honor and give you praise and magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for his blessed word. Thank God for all you've been listening. Lord, say the same. I'll be back with part two tomorrow. Look for the advertisement tomorrow. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.